Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time for 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely great to be with you guys. It's Saturday. Usually don't go live on Saturdays, but I got a full day tomorrow, so I wanted to jump on. I just had too much stuff to talk about. It's funny because every single year when we come out of a mini camp in OTAs, my notes are just they're nuts. And it's about this time that I like start a new Word document. Like my notes, it's a mess. We're at 51 pages of notes for the offseason training program since the draft. Like, and it's just a mess. And I always have to like, you know, group it and step back and like, okay, let's make this in a coherent stream so that an episode will make sense and not just random ramblings for whatever. And so lately I've just been trying to piece this jigsaw puzzle together into, okay, how do we have this conversation? And one of the most common questions I get every year at the draft and free agency, it's salary cap time. And what is on the table for the 49ers as far as this quote unquote championship window? And it kind of goes hand in hand with the questions that are asked to some of the players. And so you get a little bit of a dialogue that is somewhat organically created between Shanahan and Christian McCaffrey. And then you got the Juwan Jennings deal. And so you start to get some of these pieces that we get a piece together. So today's episode, right, the 49ers championship window, which I understand they haven't won one, but they've definitely been in competition since 2019. Four out of five NFC championship games, been to the Super Bowl twice. You're the odds on favorite to make it back to the Super Bowl again this season. And we're kind of in this mode of, man, we're kind of tired of being the favorites. We just want to win. I get it. And I understand that feeling 100%. So what we're going to do today, we're going to get a little number heavy and we're going to dive into the void years. The way in which the 49ers of Parag Marante and, you know, John Lynch have been able to keep this roster, the paramount positions, the paramount premium players together for so long. And we got to start looking at the future because it's there. Obviously, this year is everything, but does that mean it's, you know, win or you're done and all those things? And I think the salary cap is going to tell us a little bit of a story on that. So we're going to dive into those numbers. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the main takeaways from OTAs that I thought stood out from listening to the coaches and the players. Namely, who are going to be at some of these starting positions that have been a question mark. You know, who's going to be the number three corner? Who's going to be the number two and three linebackers with Dre Greenlaw out? Who's going to be that number two tight end? Those are kind of the main questions because there's not a lot. There's not a lot. So we're going to go through that. And then we're going to finish, as we do with all the solo shows in the offseason, our best of series. That's what we're going to wrap it up with. And we're up to number 37, another easy one. But yeah, we'll be talking about the 49ers legends who have worn number 37. So that's what we got on tab for today. This is episode 1,134 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. Very, very proud to say that. And I got to thank our executive producers that help us behind the scenes and just the support to get all this done. Timothy R., David G., Philip K., Kilted Niner, 49ers George 365, 1,100 episodes strong and still counting. So let's take a break real quick. Let's say what's up to all the people in the live chat. What's up, Invader? Oscar, we got Kevin, Jason. Man, appreciate you guys. What's up, JP? Smoking Niner guy, you guys are the best. Applesauce. Ooh, Colin coming in strong from the UK. Always good to hear from you, Colin. And, you know, I've got another Colin from all the way across the pond, way across the pond, down in Australia. We're going to be talking about you calling number 38 next live episode. And again, Tuesdays, we're going to continue our series with John and Wayne's show as we go through the NFC West and just continue to process these positional groups and rank the teams 1 through 4. So if you missed the John and Wayne show last Tuesday, go back and check it out. It's what it is. Swaggy J says notification for the win. Yeah, if you haven't turned on your notifications for the live channel on YouTube, man, that is a huge, huge thing that helps us out. It's very easy to do. If you haven't already, go ahead and click that subscribe button. And right next to that subscribe button is the bell. Once you click on that, click all. That way, anytime we go live, you will get notified and you will be able to enter into all of the giveaways that we do for Countdown Crew. And to be honest with you, it is by far the best way to support our channel. Thank you. Now, again, we're going to have some more giveaways coming up. I've been trying to build up all of our stuff that we give out for all our Rush road trips and stuff like that. I've got a lot of T-shirts I got to get in the mail and stuff like that. So anyway, all you hashtag CCs, I appreciate you guys. We will be rewarding you guys soon. What's up, CSL? Joining the Chapman Live. That's what's up. Applesauce. I love it. Kim, across the pod, you guys are the best. And what's up, Mike? How we doing, man? Now, let's jump into a little bit of, let's talk cap and signing. So we had the Juwan Jennings deal. Then we had the Christian McCaffrey deal. Both those kind of hit, and they both tell the same story. They are knocking that salary cap for this year and next year, 2024 and 2025, way down. And they're pushing all of the cap responsibilities to the far future as far as they possibly can. I mean, you signed a 2-year deal with Juwan Jennings, and the biggest cap hit takes place in year 3 when he's not even going to be on the team. This is void years. Now, I understand void years. A lot of people understand what they are. Let me just make sure that we define this before we move on. That way people aren't lost, okay? So Juwan Jennings signed a 2-year contract with the 49ers, meaning he's going to play for this team for 2 years. However, this is a brand new thing that started happening about 3 to 4 years ago, and the 49ers bought all the way into it, where you look at just what these players cost from a cap standpoint, right? This is not baseball, so teams can only spend so much on the cap each year. And so, for example, you look at Juwan Jennings, okay? He got a 2-year, $15 million deal. But listen to these cap hits, right? The cap hits have to equal what that guaranteed deal is. So his first year cap hit, 2.7. Second year, 4.5. That's only like $7 million. It's like half the less than half the contract the cap number comes out while he's on the team. But now the 49ers and NFL teams, 49ers do this more than most any other team out there currently. Why? Because they have one of the better rosters in the NFL currently. His biggest cap hit takes place in 2026, which is a void year. He will not be on the 49ers team unless they redo and re-extend that deal. But you still absorb this cap hit regardless, even if you do redo the deal. But then you can kick the can further down the road. That 2026 cap hit, when he's not on the 49ers team, $8.2 million. Huge void year. Like that is crazy, crazy, crazy. So what they're doing is lowering the cap now and say, we'll deal with everything in the future. Now, David Lombardi's been one of the people that's really big on this, and he keeps calling that an interest-free loan. Now, that is true because it's not a cap penalty. The NFL doesn't have a problem with this. As long in the NFLPA, the Players Association, they don't care either because the player, the agent, and the team have agreed to this. This is a way to push everything in the future. So for teams that are rebuilding now that suck and maybe, you know, you're trying to get free agents there, think back to 2017 when Kyle Shanahan first showed up and you had that huge free agent class with Kyle Juszczyk and Pierre Garçon and, you know, all those other guys. They front-loaded those deals. The Jimmy Garoppolo deal, when everybody flipped out that he was the highest-paid quarterback, that was the most front-loaded quarterback deal almost ever because they were a rebuilding team that had a huge salary cap because they didn't have a lot of veterans that were worth keeping to rebuild with. Well, now the 49ers are at the opposite side where you push the cap down the road. Rebuilding teams, they want to absorb the cap now while they're rebuilding. Niners are the exact opposite of that. They have the oldest roster in the NFL, not by a lot. It's kind of funny, you know, and I see the tweets and you can say like, oh, Niners have the oldest team in the league. And that could be alarming. That's 91 players averaged over. And you look at the back end of this roster, which we've been doing with our roster series. We're down to, I think, number 77 will be airing on YouTube later today. Jape Tongas, a local kid, Cal kid, very fun doing his breakdown. But like the 49ers have changed their philosophy to where they don't really want a lot of young pups at the back end of the roster with a lot of potential. They get some. They brought in 7 undrafted free agents. But all the other, like back into the roster guys, they're seasoned vets. Even somebody like Jake Tongas, who's been in the NFL for 3 years. He's only 24, but they're building the back end with experience because they want to win now. They want to win now. And that is key. And so one of the questions that was asked to Christian McCaffrey is, how long is this championship window going to be open for the 49ers? So here's CMC.
I don't know. I know we got a window this year. That's all I know. So I'm focused on this year and taking it, you know, one day at a time, 1 week at a time, 1 year at a time.
I don't know, but I know it's this year. And so that's one of the things that, one, I love. Like, it's the front office. It's their job to have one leg here and one leg there. One eye on the present, one eye in the future. You got to do both. And one of my favorite things, the first 3 drafts of the 49ers. And I really need to go back and cut this clip. I have it somewhere. I just haven't been able to find it. But John Lynch said, you know, the first year we were drafting, we were just trying to find guys that could play. Like, can this guy, like, we need guys that can play now. Then the second and third year, they started to transition to, okay, now we need to build cornerstones. Like, this roster isn't the same as 2017 49ers, where just anybody could come out there and play. Undrafted free agent Kendrick Bourne, who's a damn good player. But like that dude just stepped on the field, started playing. Matt Breida stepped on the field, starter, right? Like back end draft guys just stepping on. Trent Taylor starting. I like Trent Taylor. He's a great player. But that doesn't happen anymore with this roster. So now what you got to do, and John Lynch was asked back to that, you know, I think it was 2019 year where they asked John, like, what are we doing here? You just got off the Super Bowl 2019. You lost. Going into the 2020 draft, are you pushing all your chips in? You building for the future? What are you doing? And John Lynch says, why can't we do both? I think that we could build this team to make it as good as it possibly can be now. without sacrificing the future and longevity. That's where they have wanted to be. And so can they maintain that moving forward? We'll see. We'll see. Now, let's go to the Christian
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Caffrey deal, which is pretty freaking fun, and I love it because McCaffrey's one of one.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He goes out there and signs a $38 million deal. It's a two-year extension, right? $19 million a year, 19 times 19, 38, added onto his current deal. So that's important, too. He had a two-year deal. He had a two-year $24 million deal. You stack on top of that a two-year $38 million deal. Now you got that. But what they did, same thing. They knocked that cap number down in this year and next year. Christian McCaffrey's cap hit for this year was $12 million. After the extension, $6.6 million. Cut it in half. A little gravy on there. 2025 cap year was $12 million. Now it's $9.8 million. You know, that's 75% cut. Then you go to 2026, year three of the Christian McCaffrey deal. It's $11.9 million. Still under the $12 million that he was scheduled to be against the cap this year. 3 years, you go into Christian McCaffrey's four-year deal, and it's all still under that original $12 million cap hit that was going to be slated to hit in 2024 this year. Then you get to 2027, his last year as the 49ers currently, unless they extend him or redo a deal, 27.4 cap hit. Woo! It hits big. And then the next year, 2028, he's no longer going to be on the team unless they restructure or re-extend. $14.5 million cap hit. They are kicking the can down the road big time. Now, here's two reasons why I like it. One, David Lombardi talks about this all the time, and it's an interest-free loan. Whether it's a $14.8 million cap hit now or in 5 years, it doesn't cost the Niners any additional interest to do that. Doesn't cost. Two, right here, Eric, I see you. The cap is continuing to explode. And I know we all hate international games. I don't hate international games. I love them. But it stinks whenever they take away, let's say you're a season ticket holder, and they take away one of your home games and they go somewhere else. You just lost a game. Like, that hurts. I get it. Now, they're trying to offset that. I think the 17th game schedule kind of works because you get 9 home games, then 8 home games, then 9 home games, then 8, like, back and forth because it's uneven. But all those things, I know we hate when games are on Peacock. That's stupid. It's dumb. But That is why the cap is exploding. The TV media deals, the international market, all of this income and revenue that is being just injected into the NFL, that is reciprocated in the cap exploding. So the 49ers are betting, hey, the cap is going to continue to go up. Now, can we teeter this line with these future void deals without going too far on the upside down place? A little Stranger Things reference there, right? Like, how do you balance the future void years? Because, again, you're paying Christian McCaffrey $14.8 million in 2028. Now, I know Kyle Shanahan would say, well, who knows if we're even going to be alive in 2028. But as we go through these numbers, I think it's going to be a little evident that, man, they're teetering right at that precipice before becoming huge violators. Now, back to the idea of Christian McCaffrey being signed through his 31-year-old stage. Hey, running backs don't play past 28 anymore. They just don't do it. Christian McCaffrey's different. And if you joined us for the John and Wayne show on Tuesday, we were live 1 hour before the press conference of this clip I'm about to play you. But they asked Kyle Shanahan, you know, you're signing a running back into his 30s. Like, do you have a problem with, you know, what do you think is going to happen if Christian McCaffrey falls off a cliff like all the other running? We said this exact same thing like an hour before Kyle. I know he was watching the show. They were on the field, but he was listening to the show. Here's what Kyle said about signing Christian McCaffrey into his 31st-year-old season.
Well, the running back market is different than everything. So I think that we feel very good with where we're at with that, with Christian, especially. I think we got, it's contractually, I think it's four more years. But when you look at Christian just as an individual, like, I'm not going to compare him to anybody else. Christian is one of the more talented people I've ever been in my life. But if I didn't speak about that, I'd say he's almost the biggest overachiever I've been in my life. It's been around in my life in terms of how obsessive he is with every little thing. And just, you guys have heard us talk about him, but that's where he's extremely unique. And, I mean, if you, as you get older with age, you lose a step or something, that's not what makes Christian great. That's how he is, the same player down in and down out. And yeah, it's great to have all the talent that he does have, and he takes care of his body as good as anyone. So you don't picture him losing any of that because of a number. But if that stuff does happen, Christian's always going to be a good football player until he decides not to be. And we're not really concerned with that at all with his type of personality.
I freaking love that. And I almost cut the clip where Wayne and I were talking about exactly that, because, again, it was an hour before he went live and we said similar things. It's not like Christian McCaffrey just wins with speed. That's not, you know, if that's the case, you get somebody like a CJ2K, right? Who is just a speed guy, Jamal Charles, speed guy. He's a lot more than that, but whatever. When the speed loses and that's all you have, not saying that's all those guys have. That's a really bad analogy on my part. That was spur of the moment. That's all I'm trying to say at all. I'm not trying to downplay their greatness. Those are two of the great, though, great running backs. But they were speed first guys. Those speed goes. Father Time's undefeated. You look at Christian McCaffrey, his brother is faster than him, Luke McCaffrey. Like, Christian McCaffrey's fast. That's all I'm saying. But what makes him great is not that he's faster than others. That's not it. That's not it. What makes him great is his vision. And I remember this when I did the freaking write-up of Christian McCaffrey. I said if he was a slot wide receiver full-time, he would be a second-round pick, and I still believe that. Hands, incredible. Routes, incredible. Vision is his best asset. Vision. And just hard work, professionalism, which just comes across. I mean, they got videos coming out still of Christian McCaffrey, you know, and his workout routine and how innovative it is and how simple it is. And just the dude's a machine. He's a machine. And so the 49ers are betting on that. And I don't mind that at all. I really, really don't. But I did like the fact that we got a little validation that at least, you know, Wayne and myself are kind of seeing that's going on and that this makes sense. So we'll see here. We'll see how that goes. Oh, the chat's getting crazy. No, we're not trading Brock Purdy. Stay away. Don't do that. You find a perfect fit, finally. You're good, man. No, we'll be all right. We'll be all right. Now, let's look into the future. Okay, let's pause. The championship window is wide open right now. I think there is no way anybody would disagree, in my opinion. I'm trying to think. I get some crazy emails, and I love my crazy emailers. I love those, and I love the people that DM me and, you know, believe Shanahan just can't win no matter what. And I'm just like, I get that. And the conversation, bring it on. 49ersSourcePodcast@gmail.com. Bring on your craziness. I love crazy. I was raised in crazy. It's like the Bane quote, like, you merely embrace the dark. I was born in it. But, like, yeah, I mean, anyway, I don't mind crazy tinfoil hat conspiracy sports theories. I don't mind them. I don't agree with most of them. Like right now, the whole CFC Twitter argument is the Madden curse. And I'm like, gosh, there's no way people still believe in curses. Like, that's not a thing, right? Apparently it is. I literally asked, do people really believe in curses? And I got nothing but responses of yes, 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 of course, of course, of course. I'm not that person. I like superstitions and they're fun, but that's all that it is to me, is fun. I do not believe in a Madden curse. If Christian McCaffrey's there, that doesn't mean he will be hurt. Players get hurt in the NFL. It's just what it is. It's pretty damn hard to have back-to-back amazing years for anybody. How do you get put on the Madden cover? You have to have an amazing year. It's pretty hard. Across the NFL, you look at how many people have had best of the best back-to-back years. It's difficult. That is difficult. So, anyway, I don't believe in curses. I hope Christian McCaffrey's on there. I'm probably not going to buy it. I'll leave that to Wayne. And if you're a huge Madden fan, go check out Wayne's channel, The Wayne Breezy. Love that dude. He's the best. Can't support him enough. Even when the Celtics beat my Mavs, that's okay. All right. All right, here. Justin, I'm a Cubs fan. Yes, I believe in curses. And that's okay. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm not here to tell anybody what they should or shouldn't believe. That's not what I like at all. That's not my place. My place is to say, I don't believe in curses at all. Like, no, it's, I just don't. But if you believe in curses, that's cool. Christian McCaffrey getting hurt or not hurt because he's on the cover of a video game. I'm sorry. I just don't see that as a reality in my brain. That's okay. Phil. Oh, my man. Appreciate the super chat. He says, what happens to the cap when a player retires? Great question. Any dead money that is on a contract, let's go back to Christian McCaffrey, or Juwan Jennings, because I think that this would be easier. Any dead money that is on a deal gets brought up to the next year, okay? So let's just say hypothetically, Juwan Jennings plays this year, okay? Let's see here. Boop, 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 boop. There we go. It's almost as if you're cutting a player cap-wise. All the dead money has to come off the deal the following year. So, Juwan Jennings, two-year, $15.3 million deal. He plays this year. And let's see here. Let's find his dead money. There's the dead money right there. 8.4 of his money is dead, which that signing bonus. That counts whatever cap hit you put this year, roster bonuses, in-game checks. And again, this is advanced hardcore numbers, and I apologize if I get one of these or two of these things wrong, but I do know how the final number works. Okay, so getting there, I might be a little off. Showing my work, teacher. You showed the wrong work, but I got the right answer. That's where we're at right now. Thank you, Miss O'Rear. Best math teacher ever. So, 2024, Juwan Jennings plays this year. He's got an $8.4 million dead, like that's the dead cap that comes off this year. Not cap hit, that's dead money, okay? Cap hit, dead money, two different things. Now, he retires after 2024. All of the dead money left comes off the deal for 2025. Now, what players and teams do, this is what we did with Dee Ford, everything's negotiable, and you can ask them to prolong their retirement, file your papers after June 1st, lots of different finagling that goes on. I remember the Dee Ford and how those numbers just kept coming year after year after year. You could do that, or you can ask it those numbers to be exacerbated and rip the Band-Aid off, okay? Similar to what they did with Eric Armstead. Like, look, dude, we're going to cut you. We're going to make you a post one designee. We're taking all that $18.5 million cap hit. Boom, we're getting it all back. Very similar to that. So if Juwan Jennings did retire, those next cap hits, the $4.2 million in 2025 and the $8.2 million, they would trigger. Now, again, the contract, total guarantees versus guarantees, all that different stuff. That's where it comes back. That's where it all comes forward to fruition. So that void year and that following year would both hit. So a retirement is essentially cutting a player as far as cap goes, but the guarantees is what convolutes it and makes it real confusing. I don't know if I answered that well. I hope so. But anyway, Mike says, do you believe the Cowboys are evil? And thankfully curses with it. I think that their owner is evil, 100%. Yeah, he's a horrible human being. And every time I say this, I always get emails, don't call people horrible. No. Jerry Jones is horrible. You have to pay your daughter not to be around you. Yeah, that's terrible. Terrible. He's a horrible human. And so, I think that the Cowboys are evil in the fact that Jerry Jones cares about profits more than winning football. And that's why you hire somebody like a Mike McCarthy. That's why you keep doing what he's always done. Is he's not interested in winning Super Bowls, but that fan base is fine with competition. And so they're not pushing the whole, man, we want Super Bowl winners, whatever. No. Jerry Jones is fine with winning records because his people will keep buying jerseys and going to games. And that's all he cares about. He might act like he wants to win Super Bowls. He does not want to win Super Bowls. So in the sports world, that is evil, in my opinion. I would hate to be a fan of the Cowboys. I would, because you're being led by a snake oil salesman that's not interested in winning at all. Literally not. Look at their offseason. To me, that is evil. The Oakland A's owner, evil. Yes, from a sports concept. Yes. I went to my first A's game. It was comical. It was comical. I had a great time. Thank you, Janice. You're incredible. But, oh, man, it was just a joke. It was a joke. And so, yeah, I think from an evil standpoint, you know, whatever. I'm just saying selling out your fans is evil in my opinion. How do you live true to your fans? You do whatever you can to try to win and try to build sustained success with the opportunity to win it all. The Niners have done that. Have they won it all recently? They have not. Have they been on the precipice? Yeah, as close as you can be. 10-point fourth quarter lead in 19, winning in overtime. Like, yeah. I love it. Steve-O says, McCarthy and oil salesman taking strays. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Oh, what's up, Matthew? How you doing, brother? A's owner definitely won as well. Yeah, I can't stand those humans that take something that people love, just care about the dollars and cents, ring out the passion, the community, ring out childhood heroes. And you take that away, the opportunity is there to build character and community and unity and all those things. And sports are trivial. I'll tell you that myself. And I understand that, but I freaking love it. I don't care. I love this. I love it. But yeah, that dude, awful, awful human, evil human. Don't take that. Man, think about the kids that you could like be impacting in this community that needs it. Oh, come on, man. Give me work to. I didn't know I was going to be doing this. Anyway, let's get back to our void years. Listen to these void years. 2025, not this year. So after this season's done, these are the players that will no longer be on the 49ers roster unless they redo a deal, but they still have salary cap implications. Okay, these are the void years of 2025. There's only three big ones. Charvarius Ward, $12.2 million. That means we're paying him next year to play for another team. Unless we resign him. I hope he comes back. God, I love him. Devondre Campbell, 2.6. Not bad. Dre Greenlaw, 1.8. That's only 16.6 million salary cap on cap year. Next year, not terrible. Really not bad. 2026, it gets extreme. It gets really extreme. Okay? I'm going to take a deep breath. Whew. Let's do this. All these players, after the 2025 season, we will continue to pay in 2026, but they will no longer be on the 49ers. George Kittle, $13.3 million cap hit. Debo, $8.4 million cap hit. Juwan Jennings, $8.3 million cap hit. This is all 2026 void years. Leonard Floyd, 6.7 million cap hit. Yetur Gross-Matos, 4.9. Charvarius Ward again, 4.9 million. CMC, oh, that's the old deal. Sorry. Colton McKivitz, 2.3 million. Juice, Kyle Juszczyk, 1.6 million. Jordan Elliott, 1.3 million. That comes out to $53.5 million in 2026. $53 million cap hit for players that will no longer be on the team. Now, if you re-extend them, that will adjust those numbers for sure. I understand that. That's a huge number. You're talking about a $300 million salary cap. $50 million of it's allocated already to players not around. And those are some big damn names. Now, Warner was asked, you know, this is an older clip. This clip was taken right after the Super Bowl loss. And they asked him, the most recent one, you know, how long is this core going to stay together? But you look at 2026, Kittle, Debo, Jennings, gone, Charvarius Ward, Kyle Juszczyk, like, that's some names now. But they asked Warner after the Super Bowl, like, how long is this core going to stay together?
You know, that's part of the business. You know, I don't know how long this the core group is going to be around, and you know, you got to treat every year like it's your last, you know, and you don't know how long you're going to be together, so you got to make sure that you go all out every single season that you have, because that window for winning Super Bowls, it's not always open, but as long as I've been here, it's been open, and so we got to make it happen.
So yeah, I mean, the idea now, let's say everybody keeps saying if we extend Ayuk, or, you know, then Debo's gone. Well, that would change the 2026 hit to a 2025 hit. It changes. I get that. And everything's variables at play here. But $50+ million is a huge cap hit for somebody, for all these guys that are not scheduled to play on your team. It's a lot. Now, Eric, he says, take all those cap hits and add $50 million for Purdy. Maybe you'll start to see what I'm saying. Now, I'll say this. No, Purdy's not going to have a $50 million cap hit in 2026. Like, that's not happening. Like, if we look at Jalen Hurts, which is the deal I want, not necessarily the numbers, but the style, Jalen Hurts signed, you know, a $255 million contract for 5 years or for 6 years or whatever else. His salary cap hit in, okay, so Brock will sign after 2024. So 2025 will be a first year. 2026 will be a second year. And the second year of that contract, Jalen Hurts' cap hit was $13 million. You see what I'm saying? Like, Jalen Hurts' biggest cap hit is $97 million cap hit in 2029, which is a void year. This is the new NFL. A $97 million cap hit for Jalen Hurts in 1 year, but that's all the way in 2029. Obviously, they're going to restructure, and that's built into the deal. But he's getting paid long-term one way or another. And so, yes, the Purdy deal complicates things, but if the Niners keep doing what they're doing, they're going to push. They're going to sign super cheap cap hits, years one, year two, maybe year three, kind of like CMC. And then huge kick the can down the road. This is the NFL now. Eventually, those numbers come up. But, we'll see how that goes. They're huge numbers. Now, real quick, let's just go through this last one. I know we're way into the future. 2027 void years currently slated to hit for the 49ers. Hargrave, this is 2027. 10.7 million. Fred Warner, 9.4. Kittle still got a 4.5 million. Trent Williams, 3.6. Charvarius Ward still on the books. 3 years of void years. 2.4 million. Jennings, 2.3. Leonard Floyd, 2.1. Debo, 1.8. Yetur Gross-Matos, 1.6. That's 38 million. The void years, I get it. Keep this core together. I ain't mad. But you got to be careful. You got to be careful where things are going, you know, where those are going. And so we'll see what that looks like. I do think that the 49ers championship window, it's up for a while, guys. Like, You got Kyle Shanahan. You've got an opportunity, period. The offense is humming like it is, and you're rebuilding. What's going to happen with, you know, the guys that you just spent? Renardo Green, second round pick, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowing. Like, you're bringing in, how are these guys going to hit? Obviously, the Trey Lance trade set you back, but now you've got a little bit of a youth pipeline coming through. How are those guys going to step up and fill in? Y'all remember Lakin Tomlinson? Yeah, he left. We didn't see a step back at all. We really didn't. Like, good players leave. You got to build up. You keep your foundation, your cornerstone, all pro level players. But man, the roster's changing over, and that's going to continue. It's just what it is. Now, real quick, just want to talk about, we're giving away two tickets to the 49ers home opener, Monday Night Football, club level seats between the 20s or better. Very easy. All you got to do is go to the 49ersrush.com. One entry for $20 or three entries for $50. Winner will be announced August 19th live on the show. Just go to the 49ersrush.com. We always want to do whatever we can to try to create as many great experiences as possible. We gave away Super Bowl tickets. I didn't even go to the Super Bowl myself, but we gave away Super Bowl tickets. That was cool. And, you know, we almost won it, whatever. It's what it is. Now, again, we're not jumping into the Brock Purdy slander, guys. Come on, man. If you watched the Super Bowl, Eric, you did not lose that game because of Brock Purdy at all. That is just 1,000% factual, period. it's not Brock. It was not Brock. There's a lot of guys you could say it was. Debo, you know, Kittle, whether they were injured or not, I don't care. They did not perform at the biggest stage. Now, they have in the past. They didn't this one. Brock was by far keeping the 49ers offense rolling to a hum. You didn't even talk about Christian McCaffrey and his fumble. You talk about a lot of things. But Brock Purdy is not one of them. Yeah, not it. And yeah, did I watch the Packers game? Yeah, I was there. Did I watch the Lions game? Yeah, I was there. Yeah, I was at all those. And we won all those. Did he play great in the first half? No, he did not. The offense was terrible, but then they turned it on at the end and they did what they could to win the game. So it's okay. Disagreements are good, Eric. Like, I'm not telling you to agree with me. The one area you can't agree with me is that Brock was bad in the Super Bowl. That is no. That analytic wise, film wise, experience wise, be like, no, that no. So, I mean, the dude was number 30 for MVP and hasn't even had a full offseason yet. He's about to go through his first full offseason. Come on. Come on. Anyway, now, real quick takeaways just from OTAs, which OTAs are built to get you to practice the way you should practice. That's what they are. And that's why you have a lot of these season vets, Fred, CMC, Kittle, Trent, not even practicing, Bosa. Like, they're off on the side. Whether you want to call it mini camps, OTAs, it's all the same thing. But it's a good opportunity for some of the us to get a peek into some of the positional battles, because there are some positional battles that need to take place. The Niners have lost a lot. And one of the number one things that I wanted to see, we're a Super Bowl away from starting a guy that you signed off the streets in Logan Ryan and forced him to play a position he hasn't played in 6 years in the Super Bowl. His first start at nickel in the past 6 years was in the Super Bowl. That's a problem. That is a problem. A lot of that is because Ambry Thomas got scared to hit down the season. Obviously, don't even want to talk about the other nickel guy that we cut that we paid too much and cost us a draft pick on top of it. Anyway, not his fault. He sucks. But who's going to be that number three corner? We know Charvarius Ward's number one. We know Demo's number two. We know Demo can slide into nickel. We know he can stay outside. But Nick Sorensen, who coached nickels for the past few years and is now the DC, he was asked about Isaac Yiadom. Check this out.
I think with Ike, he came into the league and he kind of bounced around for a while. But everything we had heard about him, and you see, is what he's been when he got here. He's kind of self-made, like he works. He's very serious. I think when he came to sign, he actually like went and got a workout after he signed. Like, I've never seen that. But that's him. And I think that's what's kind of shown up with who he is. And he's very meticulous and the stuff. Oh, my bad. The stuff that showed up later in the year with him and how he competed against a lot of really good receivers. I think it's been awesome that we're seeing that now, too. He's very technical. He's very strong. And I think he's a guy that's also, like we talk about Mooney being strong and a tackler, he's got that in his history as well. Like, he's a tough guy. He's physical. He plays with his hands. He's violent. He communicates. He sees things before they happen. And that stuff has shown up.
I fully expect Isaac Yiadom to be the starter, the number three guy. So when we go to our nickel defense, Isaac's going to be out there for week one. I just think that's what's going to take place. You move Demo inside. Your outside corners are Charvarius Ward, Isaac Yiadom, and Demo goes inside. I think that's just what we're going to see. The consistency's there. The experience is there. Plus, with Charvarius Ward out because of his core muscle surgery, he's getting all those reps. He's out there with the ones every single day. Every day he's out there with the ones outside. I think that's what it's going to be. Now, I think eventually the idea is to see where Renardo Green transitions to. And when OTAs first started and they were talking about Renardo Green started at nickel, I was like, ooh, this is, dude could start. He's second round pick. Like, he could be the starting nickel. But then they started to move him back outside. And so the fact that Renardo's playing inside and outside, that's a little bit, I'm not so, it's not a knock on Renardo. I do believe that it is a knock on Renardo playing sooner. Because if he was going to be your nickel rotating guy, you would just have him at nickel learning that position. But instead, you got to learn him too. Now listen to, my favorite player behind a mic, Mooney Ward. He was asked about the rookie corner. He is hilarious.
I haven't been with him too much because I've been rehabbing, but just watching film, I think Renardo, that's his name, right? Renardo. I didn't know if it was Renardo or Ricardo, but I know he can play. I know he can play just by, like, watching film. He's super sticky in coverage. I think he's smart. Once he get a little more reps under his belt, I think he's going to be a baller for us.
He's hilarious. Now, Mooney Ward did this last year to Daryl Luter Jr. too. When somebody asked him, like, oh, what do you think about Daryl Luter Jr.? He's like, who? I don't even know who that is. Like, this is, you got to understand, Daryl Luter Jr. and Renardo were drafted to take the spot of Charvarius Ward or Demo. You might be able to pay one or two. I doubt you can play both. Like, the NFL is, you got to go win your job. And you remember, who's Mooney Ward? Undrafted free agent that clawed his way up into the starting lineup as a rookie, won a Super Bowl with the Chiefs, then came and got paid with us. And he talked about how he wants to stay here. And I hope that we find a way to keep him here. I love this dude. But say, like, who? What's his name? Like, he knows his name. Like, Mooney Ward is hilarious. I freaking love him. But the fact that they're moving Renardo inside and outside, I don't think that that's a knock on him, but I do think that it tips the hand of the 49ers that we're going to go with the vet approach. That's what they do. They redshirt everybody. But here, let's go back to the DC, Nick Sorensen, talking about Ricardo Green, the rookie.
I've been really happy with Renardo. The cool thing is he's moving. You know, he's been doing both nickel and corner, and it's not a lot of time, right? You know, it's a certain amount of practices and hasn't fully been a nickel, so he's really embraced the challenge of it. That's the best part. Like, it's never perfect because now all of a sudden we're teaching you all these different coverages, but there's also run fits too, and then that changes. And guess what? You can't, like, fully trigger and, you know, feel the physicality of the line because there's rules and those guys aren't playing the same. But just with him, it's just the mentality and the competitiveness that I love. We knew the movement skill was there and you see it in man-to-man stuff, and he gets those too. But just, like, he's embraced any challenge that's anything that's hard, I think, is he's embraced and he's kind of attacked it and willingly been like, no, man, I want more of that. And that's really been awesome.
And so I'm excited about Renardo. I think that he could be the first rookie to start from this draft class. I think it's the easiest path. But again, if an injury happens, now you have way more depth because, you know, the outside corners, You've got Ambry Thomas there. I'm not sure he makes this roster. The physicality is just not really there, sadly. Daryl Luter Jr., he has the physicality. He's got the size. You know, is he ready to step up in year two? You've got Renardo who can step up outside as well. So the 49ers just seem to be like, look, we've been through hell at the cornerback position. Y'all remember the Eric Allen game? Or I think it was Eric Brown, maybe. I don't know. The Miami game where Fitz just lit us up because we had back-to-back corner injuries and Akello Witherspoon. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But whatever. Like, Shanahan has been a PTSD guy. And he coaches that way after the fact. This is the most cornerback depth the Niners have had since Shanahan showed up, period, by a mile. And somebody, I know somebody's like, yeah, why are you talking corners and Kyle Shanahan? Kyle Shanahan's in charge of everything of this team. The personnel, the drafting, the defensive personnel, the defensive blitz calls. Kyle Shanahan is the in control of all things, how short the grass is cut. Like, he is in charge of it all. So, and Shanahan has operated from that mindset. And so corners, being there last year and having Logan Ryan starting the Super Bowl drives me up a wall, man. Like, that is, we're not going to be there again. We are not going to be there again. And having Renardo play both, I think does mean less chance to start early, but more chance to start multiple spots later. The versatility that they always preach. It's what it is. It's what it is. So I'm excited about these guys. Right here, Logan says, speaking of cornerbacks, we can pay Demo when the time comes. The time comes next year. Charvarius Ward and Demo, last year of their contracts. So, yeah, it's very possible, but you got to pick. You can't pay everybody. Hufanga's coming back. His contract's expiring as well. Ayuk, we already know. Brock Purdy, I mean, come on. How that's going to work, I don't know. I hope they do whatever they can. And if all these void years that we kept talking about allows them to keep one or two more starters, allows you to keep a Huff, allows you to keep Demo, I'm all for it. I am all for it. Anyway, now, let's take a trip to nostalgia. Who is the best number 37 to ever wear that uniform for the 49ers? But before you go into any games this year, you got to come with us. All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. It's incredible. Now, if you want more, you can click on our True Fan travel link. And so let's say you want to go to Tampa. And you can kind of see, you can put your deposit down now. Flights, transportation, hotel, parties, all that stuff, game ticket, you name it, it's there. It's a $300 deposit per city. And you've got several weeks for a refund policy if you want to as we build out these packages. And once we built that out, then we'll give you that opportunity to, hey, do you want in? Do you not want in? And then we'll move on from there. So lots of options are available for you guys. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful. All right, let's get to the number 37. It's so fun doing this. And, you know, there's 12 retired numbers for the 49ers. And so whenever you come across one of those retired numbers, it's just like, oh, this is awesome. And number 37, super easy one. Only six players have ever worn this number. But the great Jimmy Johnson, baby, 1961 to 1976, long career, super long career with the 49ers. And, you know, there's not really, not that the other player should be mentioned, but I got to give a shout out to Visco Gritch. I'm sure Gregich. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. It's funny because he wore 34 and had to switch to 37 whenever Joe the Jet Perry came back to join the Niners, which eventually they retired number 34. And so he wore 37 for a year. And then guess what? 37 got retired after him as well. So shout out to Visco for wearing not only 34, which is retired, but also 37 that is retired as well. Jimmy Johnson, dude's unbelievable. And, you know, I always talk about this. Pro Football Reference puts out an approximated value, how much value they brought to their team. It's a huge formula. Jimmy Johnson comes in with a 146 AV number. That's the fourth highest in franchise history. The fourth highest in franchise history. Number one's Jerry Rice, 216. That's bananas. It's the most for any team, any player. Actually, Tom Brady might be more, but whatever. 155 for Steve Young. You see that drop. I mean, it's like a 60 number drop. 148, Joe Montana. 146, Jimmy Johnson. Two numbers behind good old Joe. And then 134 for Ronnie Lott. Those are the top guys. But you're talking about somebody that got more points than Ronnie Lott. It's the longevity is huge. Jimmy Johnson, Hall of Fame, 5 Pro Bowls, 3 All Pros, 1970s All Decade Team. He's in the 49ers Hall of Fame, retired their number, obviously. He's in the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame, UCLA Athletics Hall of Fame. Born in Dallas, Texas, outside of Dallas, Texas, moved to the Fresno area, Kingsburg, and you know, his brother was a stud as well. His brother, Rofford Johnson, was a gold medalist in the decathlon in the 1960 Olympics. Talk about athleticism in the family. I love it. Jimmy went on to win the NCAA championships, 110 hurdles for UCLA. And here's what's crazy. The year he got drafted in 61, 7 Hall of Famers were in this draft. It was stacked. He went one pick after Mike Ditka. Hey, this is crazy. So Jimmy Johnson Hall of Fame, Mike Ditka, Bob Lilly, Herb Adderley, Billy Shaw, Deacon Jones, and Fran Tarkenton, all in the same draft. Whew, that's a trip, man. How cool is that? Like, it's fun looking back through these things and just like, like, I don't know this. I don't know the 1961 draft class. That well before my time, but it's pretty cool looking back and just seeing like, how cool is this? He was with the 49ers for 16 years and played 213 games. 16 years. Second most games played ever for the 49ers. Second only to Jerry Rice, who played 238. So you got 25 game difference. Jerry Rice, dude's just different. Never missed more than 2 games in a single season. You love that. The worst part about his career is playoffs. Playoffs were different back then. He only had 5 playoff games in 16 years with the Niners. He was a part of some really bad teams. You know, the Niners aren't what they are now. Bill Walsh changed everything because postseason success was not about the San Francisco 49ers until he showed up. And then George Seifert carried it. And yeah, you had some, you know, decent coaches peppered throughout. Then you had Harbaugh. And now you've got Shanahan. The postseason, we have the most playoff wins in NFL history, more than any other team. That never happened until Bill Walsh, Seifert, Shanahan, Harbaugh. Those 4, that's the Mount Rushmore. But you hear somebody that plays for 16 years and only played in 5, not 5 playoff wins, 5 playoff games. It breaks my heart, man. He played all over the secondary, but left corner was his job. He had 13 straight years, started left corner. It's just what he did. He also had 40 career receptions, played some offense, had an 80-yard touchdown, 4 rush touchdowns in 1962. He was just unbelievable. 47 career interceptions. The dude is just a beast. Was known as the best corner in NFL history when he retired and was one of the first corners for the term lockdown to be applied to him, where it just, hey, don't throw it to his way. Cut off half the field, all that stuff. Sadly, Jimmy Johnson just passed away last month, May 8th, 2024. Rest in peace to the legend. Died at 86 here in the Bay Area. Amazing guy. Amazing guy. And just longevity. And the dude, I love it. I wish there was like film. I could go back and watch, but trying to find corner film in the 60s, a little bit different. Where's the All-22? anyway, it's what it is. But I just want to say thank you to Jimmy Johnson. And, you know, as we continue this series, and just looking back at all these studs, 16 years, The longest player for the 49ers currently is at 8 with the 49ers. 8 years. That's George Kittle. I hope that he gets to 10. I really, really do. But could you imagine? We've had Kittle for 8 years. He's going into year 8. Could you imagine twice his career? That's Jimmy Johnson. They don't make him like they, you know, like they used to. And the NFL's different, I understand. Bigger, faster, stronger, more injuries. It's what it is. Way more games. It's just different. Anyway, you guys are awesome. I love that the Purdy arguments are still going. Stay strong, guys. Don't change when new information is presented. Always stick to your original thought ideas. Sarcasm. Anyway, you are the best. This was fun. Thank you for taking part of this, and we'll be back. I'm not sure when my next show is going to be, but I do know for sure Tuesday, John and Wayne show. I'll see if I get another show in, but I'm going to be doing over on the 49ersrush.com. We're about to start our undrafted free agent film breakdown series. So if you haven't signed up yet, head over to the 49ersrush.com. And we're going to be breaking down all 22 tape of all of our undrafted free agents. That's what's going to be going on over there. We already have all the breakdowns up of the entire rookie class. So if you want to see those, multiple on Ricky Pearsall, multiple Renardo Green, multiple on Dominique Pooney. But now we're going to be focusing on undrafted free agents. As soon as you sign up, you get access to the entire library. 300 plus videos strong. The 49ersrush.com. Go check it out. But for us, that's going to do it. And all you guys out there, stay faithful.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.